Today's daf is Vav Metzia, daf Kuf Tes Vav. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom of the page, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara is going to discuss what happens if the Lova dies while he's in possession of the Mashkon. Is the Malva allowed to take the Mashkon back as payment, even though normally Metaltlin Diasmir Lo Mishtabdi LeBalchov, but over here this Metaltlin was made into a Mashkon at some point. Then the Gemara is going to discuss cases where it is in fact permissible to go into somebody else's house to take the money, since we've been talking about the Isser to go take a Mashkon from somebody else's house. So we're going to discuss cases where that Isser doesn't apply and one is permitted to go into somebody's house, take a mashkon. The Mishnah in the middle of the page on Kuftas Vav Amud Aleph is going to discuss the Isser to take a mashkon from an almana, which leads to a discussion of taking from an almana who's an ashira. Is that also a problem, or only if she's an ani, only if she's poor? And that, of course, is going to get into the larger discussion of darshin and time of dekra, or lo darshin and time of dekra, meaning how much do we focus on the reason for the Isser to take a mashkon from an almana, and therefore adjust the halacha accordingly. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuftas Vav Amud Aleph is going to talk about the Isser to take a rechayim, which are kelim that are needed for ochel nefesh, and therefore the broader iser of taking kelim that are needed for ochel nefesh. And it's going to discuss how many different malkios one gets when he takes the particular kelim that the Torah actually mentions that are ochel nefesh. Do you get two separate malkios for taking those kelim plus for taking the ochel nefesh kelim in general, or is it only one malkios? If you take both, is it two separate malkios? So the Gemara is going to discuss how many malkios, and that's going to lead to machlokas amoraim about how many about whether a person gets malkios in general for a lav shebuchlalos. So if you have a lav in the Torah that includes many different things, that includes many different isurim, does one get malkios for that? So we're going to relate that to a machlokas amoraim with regard to eating a carbon pesach that was not prepared properly. That too seems to be a machlokas about lav shebuchlalos. So the two major shas topics that come up on today's daf, darshin and time of dekra, and lav shebuchlalos. These are two major sugyas that come up in today's daf. So let's begin four lines from the bottom of daf kuf yudal ram beis. Amar of Yochanan, mashkino umeis. If you took a mashkon from a love, you gave it back to him, and then he dies, shomto me'al gabe banav. You're allowed to take it from his children, and it's not like metaltlin where we say metaltlin lo mishtabdi lebalchov. This isn't regular metaltlin. This is a mashkon, so it doesn't have the status of normal metaltlin. Meisveis asks the Gemara, Amre Meir v'chi me'acher shememashkinin lo mamachzirin. Once you're going to take a mashkon, why do you have to return the mashkon? So the Gemara says, well, that's a silly question. Lama machzirin, rachmano amar ahader. Why? The Torah says you have to return a mashkon. That's part of the dinim of a mashkon. So what do you mean, lama machzirin? No, what Rameir really meant to say is, elameacher shemachzirin, lama chozirin mamashkinin. If you are returning the mashkon anyway, so why would you go back and take it again? Meaning, why you took it once, you made your statement, now you're going to give it back as needed anyhow. So what's the purpose of continuing to take back the mashkon? So two reasons. Number one, shalote shviyas mishamatato. Number one, you don't want Shemitah to cancel your loan. So as long as you have a mashkon, Shemitah won't cancel your loan. So it's worth taking it back each and every day, so that if Shemitah comes, while you have it, it won't cancel the loan. And v'lo yasa metaltel neitzel banav. And the other thing it accomplishes, more nogea to our discussion, is that it will no longer, if you take it as a mashkon, it will not be metaltelin eitzel banav, which you're not allowed to take. You're not allowed to collect metaltelin from yisomim. But time of the hadru mashkenei, hello hadru mashkenei lo, sounds like it's only while it's actually in your possession that it doesn't become metaltelin eitzel banav. But when you give it back to the love, for whatever periods of time you give it back to him, it sounds like then it does become metaltelin eitzel banav, and it's something that you're not allowed to collect from. So isn't that against what Rabbi Yochanan said? Rabbi Yochanan said that if the guy dies, you're allowed to take the mashkon back from his children, even though he's the one that had it at the time that he died. So answers the Gemara, Amar Avad Bar Masna, V'lav Terutzik Kometaratzla, anyway, you had to adjust the wording of Rabbi Meir, because our first version of the wording of Rabbi Meir was, why do you bother giving it back? And so we had to adjust that, because that's ridiculous. You give it back because the Torah says you give it back. So once you're adjusting the wording of Rabbi Meir anyway, so Tritzachi, adjust it as follows. If you're going to be giving back the mashkon, lama memashkinin me'ikara, not why do you keep taking it back? What was the purpose of taking it in the first place if you're going to have to give it back? That's shalote shvius mishamato v'leas metal tenetzel banav. Meaning the only reason you take the mashkon in the first place is because once you've taken it once you've taken the mashkon that first time, now Shemitah will not cancel the loan. Now it's not going to become metal tenetzel banav. But it doesn't make a difference whether the lova has it when he dies or you have it when he dies. As long as you took it that first time, it's not going to be metal tenetzel banav. So Rabbi Yochanan is correct that you're allowed to go back and take it from the lover. The comment of Rameir was only about why it is that a person would bother taking it the first time. Now the Rashash points out in at least the Havamina, when the Gemara first thought we were asking why do you keep taking it back, and we said, oh, you keep taking it back because of two reasons, Shemitah, and that it shouldn't be metal tenetzel banav. So Shash points out, you can't say the real reason was Shemitah. Meaning at that point in the Gemara, it doesn't make sense that the real reason would be Shemitah. So Shemitah wouldn't cancel the loan, because l'chora, that would only work for Ksus Yom, where the Malva is allowed to take it only after sunset. So because Shemitah is Meshamet Besofa, so B'Shkiyas HaChama, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Matzoy Shviyas, the Mashkon was not in the person's Rishus, so Shemitah will cancel it anyway. So it doesn't help if you have to keep giving it back. And so when the Shemitah actually comes, furthermore, says the Rashash, that explains why you take it on the last day of the year. But why do you keep taking it back every other, the last day of the 17th? I get that. So it's when it happens to be the moment that Shemitah would cancel the loan, that's when you would be careful to try to have the mashkon. It wouldn't explain why you keep taking it back every other day. So even in the Havamina, the way we read it, it has to be that the Iker Tam was that it shouldn't be metaltalin etel banav. The maskana, both are the Iker Tam, because the maskana, it's just about the fact that you once took a mashkon. As long as you took it once, that would be enough to prevent Shemitah from canceling the loan. The Sefer Gidulei Truma, he writes that if the Malva is Tofes Metaltalin from the Lova, even though he didn't give it Betoras Mashkon, Shemitah won't cancel the loan either. Meaning if I forcefully take a Mashkon from you, you didn't offer it, it wasn't part of the deal, I forcefully take a Mashkon from you, Shemitah won't cancel the loan either, because the halacha is that kol makom that karin be lo yigos, wherever you can say that the Malva should not press the Lova, so that's where Shemitah cancels alone. In a loan that otherwise the Malva would be pressuring the Lova to pay. But if I already have something of yours in my possession, I'm not pressuring you to pay. So Mele Shemitah is not going to cancel such a loan. The Tumim in Simon Samach Zayin doesn't agree. He says, why does that make sense? Shemitah doesn't cancel a Malva al Mashkon because the Mashkon is Kanui le Malva. It's yours. It becomes the property of the Malva. But when the Malva just grabs an object from the Lova, so without any Kinyan, it doesn't help the fact that it's in your hand doesn't help. So he disagrees. He thinks if you forcefully take a mashkon, it's not going to work. There's a further discussion. So Machlokos Rishonim, when we say that a malva al mashkon ain shmita mishametas, the shmita won't cancel a loan if the loan was made with a mashkon, what if the mashkon is not worth the full value of the loan? I lent you $1,000, I took a mashkon that's worth $800. So how do we view that? Do we say, okay, shmita won't cancel $800 of the loan, but the other $200 Shemitah will cancel, because the whole purpose of Shemitah not canceling when you malva al mashkon is because I already got my payment, I'm already holding, and I have no reason to press you and to pressure you, but I'll still pressure you about the other $200. Or do we say no, that whenever the nature of the loan was with a mashkon, so that entire loan is excluded from Shemitah? So that is a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam in Shemitah Yevi'ovel Perek Tes Halacha Yedalid says only the value that's keneged mashkon is not cancelled by the Shemitah, but the Rush holds that the entire alva is not cancelled by the Shemitah, even that which is worth that which exceeds the value of the mashkon. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Tan Rabbanan, about 7-8 lines on page Kuftes Vav Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan, lo savol beisa lavot avoto, that a person cannot go into a house to go take your mashkon. Le beisa liyatanichnas, av latanichnas le beisa shalariv. You're not allowed to go into the lover's house to take a mashkon, but you're allowed to go into the house of the Arev to take a mashkon. If he has a co-signer, you're allowed to go into his house. V'cheinu omer, lokach bigdo ki Arev zar. So that va'omer, b'ni yemeraf t'lerecha, t'kata l'zar kapecha, no kashta bim repicha, nil kadta bim repicha, asei zos efo b'ni v'inatzel, ki basa b'kaf recha lo hisrapes. V'rov recha, the Gemara is going to darshan. The pasuk seems to be saying that there are two different situations where a person can find himself in that he needs to get out of. So we're just darshaning pesukim in Mishlei. One is a rav to the reacha, because takata lazar kapecha, you became an arev for someone else because you did a handshake deal that you're going to be responsible for his loans. And the other one is no kashta b'imre picha, nil kadta b'imre picha, that you were mean to somebody, you said nasty things to somebody. So then the pasuk is telling us asei zos efo b'ni v'inatzel, that here's what you do to get out of those two predicaments that you put yourself in. So imamun yesh lo biyadcha, hater lo pisas yad. If it's the first predicament that you put yourself in, that you became an arev and you became responsible for the money, so then what you have to do is you have to open up your hand and pay. And if it's not a money issue that you got yourself in, rather the issue that you got yourself into was that you said mean things, you were not nice to another person, so then hirba lavrayim, then you have to get a lot of friends to try to convince this guy to be mochel you. That's how we're touching up the pasuk. Litzad sheni, another possibility, the beso yatanichnas, meaning, so that was all within the first possibility, that the beso yatanichnas, but you're allowed to go into the house of the Arev to take a mashkon. Another possibility, it's an unusual expression, letzad sheni. Letzad sheni is like an ikada amri, but for some reason use this unusual expression, letzad sheni. Lebeso yatanichnas, avlatanichnas l'schar kasev, l'schar chamar, l'schar pundak, l'schar diuknaos, that you're not allowed to go in someone's house to take a mashkon, but if he owes you money because you worked for him, you schlepped for him, that's kasev, you were his donkey driver, that's a chamar, you hosted him, so pundak, you were an artist who went and did work in his house, so that you're allowed to go into his house to take. You might think that even if you turned it into a loan, the fact that you owe him the money has been turned into a loan, so you might think you're still not allowed to, that you're still allowed to go into his house. That's why it says Masas Muma. Once it's turned into a milva, once it's turned into a loan, you're not allowed to go into his house to take. So essentially the Gemara says two major exceptions to the isser of going into someone's house to take. One is to go into the Arif's house is permissible, to go into the cosigner's house is permissible, and the second is that to go into a house of someone who owes you money because you did work for them, not stam alone, but you did work for them, that you're allowed to do. Why is it that going into the Arif's house is any different than going into the Lova's house? Isn't the Arev just the proxy of the Lova? Isn't that the way Arev works when he co-signs? So why would it be mutter to go into the Lova's house? Shita Mugvetzis quotes from Rabbeinu Yehonasan that since the Malva was only willing to lend the money al Yidei an Arev, when there's a co-signer there, it's as if it's a mashkon b'shas halva'a, meaning we discussed already that there's a difference between a mashkon that you take later and a mashkon b'shas halva'a. A mashkon b'shas halva'a doesn't have any of these dinim, any of these isurim of a mashkon. If at the very moment that you borrowed the money, there was already a mashkon. So an arev, I only lend the money if there's an arev there at the time of the loan. The arev doesn't come in later, so since he was there already at the time of the loan, it has the status of a mashkon b'shas halva. The Rabbeinu Bechai on Chumash says a little differently. He says, the truth is really it would be more appropriate to be mashkin the lova who enjoyed your money much as opposed to the arev who never got to enjoy your money. So you would think you'd be allowed to take the mashkon from the lova because he's the one that really benefited from the loan. But nevertheless, the lova, you have to appreciate where he's coming from. The lova Rava borrows money mitoch hadocha. He was obviously desperate, and that's why he borrowed money. He's coming from a position of weakness. An arev is coming from a position of strength. Who do you go for? Who do you go to co-sign a loan? You go to someone who's in a position of financial strength. So since the arev is coming from a position of strength, so we could be a little more aggressive with the arev, and we don't have to worry that we're causing him unneeded tremendous amounts of tsar. Now the question is good. So now an arev is different than a malva in terms of that halacha, in terms of than a lova in terms of that halacha, that you're allowed to go into the house of the arev, you're not allowed to go into the house of the lova. What about all the other halachos about taking a mashkon? Is the arev like a lova with other halachos? I mean, there's a machlokas rishonim, the Torah quotes in Siman Sadi Zayin, how far the distinction between a lova and an arev goes. He quotes the Ramah that it's only about this halacha, about going into his house, that an arev is any different than a lova. But other dinim of mashkon, for example, mesadrin lebalchov, that you make sure that he has what he needs. Or not to take anything that's a kli that's used for ochel nefesh, which is the halacha we're going to see in Mishnah in today's daf. Or that you have to give him back the mashkon b'yom or b'layla. That, there's no difference between an arev and a lova. That's going to be exactly the same. But the Bala Trumas holds that you don't have to give back the mashkon to the arev. That's only to the lova. An arev is different than a lova. So the Beis Yosef points out from the Rambam in Malva V'lova, Perek Yimel, it sounds like the Yad Ramah. It sounds much more like the Shita of the Ramah. And the Knesset HaGadol explains from the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention a distinction between the arev and the malva with regard to anything else other than forcibly going into his house and taking it. So it sounds like with regard to every other halacha, they must have the same status. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that it would therefore come out that according to the Ramah, even when it comes to the Yisra of Almana, an Arev is the same as a Lova, that you're not allowed to be Chavul Almana, even if she became an Arev, you're not allowed to go into her house. Because the reason of the Ramah is that it's only what the Torah says Beferish, what the Torah is Mema'it Beferish, that we're Mema'it the Arev, and we say the Arev is not like the Lova. But with regard to every other Halach of a Mashkon, the Arev is exactly like the Lova. Okay, let's see the new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, Almana, bein shi yaniya, bein shihi ashira, ein memashkenosa. An almana, whether she's poor, whether she's rich, you're not allowed to take a mashkon from her. Shenamar losach bo beged almana, because it says beferish that way in the Torah, that you're not allowed to take a beged almana, and it doesn't distinguish between a rich almana and a poor almana, so you're not allowed to take a beged almana. But the Braisa comes to elaborate. Before we get to the Braisa, the Sma in Siman Sadi Design writes that is this a din dafka by almana, or is it a din about any single woman, that you're going to go to a single woman's house to take a mashkon? So the Sma writes that it's hu adin begrusha. She's also like an almana. She doesn't have an ozer v'samich. She doesn't have anyone supporting her. But he says, not any single woman. A besula is not included in this. A girl who's never been married, we assume, is still taken care of by her father's household. So therefore, she's a different status. She's someone, you don't say nebuch that she's a single girl. Nebuch that a woman is an almana. She's more in a vulnerable position. Almana, grusha are in a much more vulnerable position than a single girl. So the Taz says that it turns out, though, if you say it like that, you're really being Dorish Taima Dekra, which is going to be our whole sugi over here. Meaning that the reason is because she doesn't have any ozer v'somich, so that's why we can add a grusha. Well, the Gemara is going to say that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Gemara is going to quote the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and we paskin like that, that we're not Dorish Taima Dekra. So how can we be Dorish Taima B'Dekra? So says the Taz that every single girl must be included in this Isser, that since according to Rabbi Shimon, the reason of the din is that Atamasiya Shem Rabbi Shechinoseha, that you're going to give her a bad reputation. So L'chora, that could happen with any single girl, that you're going to give her a bad reputation. It's not only with an Almana and a Grusha, and it has nothing to do with how vulnerable a position they're in. It has to do with the fact that they're going to get a bad reputation. The Tumen just points out, the Tumen points out that if you say like the Taz, then L'chori, you should have another Isser also. What if a woman's husband's out of town? So you shouldn't be able to take a mashkin from that, and that should be even worse. Because the whole point is that Messiah Shem Rabbi Shechina Seha, who's going to have a worse reputation? A woman who's an Eshes Ish, and her husband's out of town, that Lechora should be even worse. But yet the Torah only mentions Almana, that Almana were Ein Mashkin Osa. Now the Rishonim discuss, Tosus already raises the question, that you're not allowed to take, we already learned earlier in the Andaf Kuf Yud Gimel, that there's a Machlokas Tanaim, whether you're allowed to take a Mashkon directly from the hands of the Lova. You meet the Lova in the Shuk, and he's wearing a watch, you know, and you say, okay, you know, give me that as a Mashkon. You're not entering his house, just taking it directly from him when you meet him in the Shuk. That's a Machlokas Tanaim. One Brisa says that, yeah, that you're allowed to do, you're just not allowed to go into his house. The other Brisa says, no, you need a Shliach Bezin to do that as well. You're not allowed to take it from him even in the Shuk. So Tosfos raises the question in Dibra Maslal Mana that Lechor, from our Mishnah, we could be Mochiach that it's mutter to take a mashkon from the lova, because otherwise, what's the special din of an almana? Anyway, you're not allowed to take from anybody. So what are we learning special about an almana over here if you're not allowed to take from anybody? So Tosfos gives a couple of tirutz. And the first one is that the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that there's some special din by an almana. It's just that there's an additional isser by an almana. The same isser of taking a mashkon that applies to everybody else applies doubly to an almana, but not that it's actually teaching a separate din by an almana. That's the more mechudishtika answer of Tosfos. So Tosfos has a second answer as well, but let's see the Gemara now. Says Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Almana ben shi'aniya ben shi'ashira ein mashkan osa divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't make a difference whether the Almana is rich or poor, one may not take a mashkon from an Almana. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ashira mashkan osa aniya ein mashkan osa. No, it does depend. If she's rich, there's no problem with taking a mashkon from her. If she's poor, then there is a problem with taking a mashkon from her. Shata chayv lahachzila v'atam asiyah shem rabbi shechina seha. Because you have to realize the whole purpose of the din is that if you're going to take from an almana and you're going to keep on having to give it back to her as needed, it's going to give her a very bad reputation that this strange man keeps on coming in and out of her house. So that's why Rabbi Shimon says it only applies to a poor woman who's going to need to be given back the item each and every day. So it says Gemara, Lemeimed Rabbi Yehuda lo darish time of the Kra. Rabbi Shimon, darish time of the Kra. Does this mean to say Rabbi Yehuda is not darish time of the Kra? He's not interested in the reasons for the din, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care if she's an Ashira or an Aniya. And Rabbi Shimon says, I am interested in the reasons of the din, and therefore it makes a difference whether she's an Ashira or an Aniya. But in a different context, we learned that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon do seem to argue about their Shin and time of the Kra, but they take the exact reverse positions. Detanya, we have a brisa, v'lo yar b'lo nashim, that there's an isra and a melech, that he's not allowed to have too many wives. Rabbi Yehuda omer, marbuhu ul'bavad shelo yemesiru s'slibo. He's allowed to have a lot of wives as long as they're not the type of women that are going to be mesiru s'slibo, that are going to lead him astray in any way. Rabbi Shimon omer, afilu achas v'hi mesiru s'slibo, hareza lo yisa'ena. Rabbi Shimon says, even if it's one woman and she's mesiru s'slibo, he's not allowed to marry her. One of the wrong types of wives is bad enough. That's already included in the Isser. Imkein matam alom v'lo yar b'lo nashim. Why does it say lo yar b'lo nashim? They shouldn't have many wives. Afilu kavigayil. Even if they're all nashim tzidkanios like Avigail, he's not allowed to be mar b'nashim. So don't you see over there that Rabbi Shimon holds afilu achas v'masira es libo, that he's not allowed to marry her, because apparently Rabbi Shimon says that we're not Doresh Taima Dekra, and that you can't be mar b'nashim even if they're the biggest tzidkanios in the world and they're not going to cause any problem. So Rabbi Shimon is not Doresh Taima Dekra, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is the one that is Doresh Taima Dekra, where he says that as long as they're not Mesiris Islibo, it's okay. We're only interested in the reason of the Pasuk. So says Gemara, Liolam Rabbi Yehuda lo darsh time of the Kra. Really, Rabbi Yehuda in general is not focused on the reason of the Pasuk. And like we have by the Almana, why then does he say that he's allowed to be Marbe as long as they're not Mesiris Islibo? Vishaini Hacha de Mefaresh Kra. Over here it's different because the Pasuk explicitly says a reason. Velo Yarbe lo Nashim, velo Yasur. It's the Torah explicitly saying that the only reason not to have too many wives, mishum de lo yasser, because they're going to lead you astray. Meaning, the default position, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that the reason doesn't make a difference. That whatever reason you come up with is irrelevant. So if the Torah goes out of its way to give a reason, that's saying that, oh, over here, the reason must be relevant. For Rabbi Shimon, michti, b'yalma darshim in time of the Torah, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the default is that the reason matters. That we always figure out the reason and adjust the halacha accordingly, even when the Torah doesn't say the reason. So why then does the Torah over here say the reason? It's unnecessary. We already know the reason. We know that on our own, because we're always Doresh Taiva Dekra. So lo yasser de kasser rachman alamali. Why does it have to say lo yasser? Afilu achas masiru libar reza lo yisena. Rabbi Shimon says, oh, if it's saying the reason, then it must be saying that that's not the reason. It's saying a separate iser, that there are two separate isurim. There's an iser of lo yarba, that's one, and then there's a separate iser of lo yasir, that he's not allowed to have wives that lead his heart astray, because lo yasir can't just be the reason, because we don't need a pasuk if it's just the reason. The reason is something that we would figure out on our own. Now, when it comes to the sugya of Darshin and Taima Dekra, we find in Rishonim that when it comes to the issue of taking a mashkon from an almana, they give other reasons other than what the Gemara says over here. Meaning the Gemara over here says that she shouldn't have a shame, Rabbi Shechinu says. It's going to be bad for her reputation if you keep on going, strange men keep on walking in and out of her house. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos writes that the reason of the issue is that it's going to be Yavul Deish Cheshad when she comes looking for the mashkon, or it's going to lead to some sort of kilkel, and therefore we don't distinguish between an aniya and an ashira, because she's going to come and fetch that mashkon eventually. It's just creating an unhealthy relationship. So it's not about the aniya where you're going to have to go in and out every single day. The chinuch says that the reason for the isser is that chas Hashem al briyosav v'ratzel zakosenu liknos b'nafshenu midas hachemla. It's a ben adam la'atzmo. It's to teach us how to become more merciful people. So we should be merachim and almana who's nebuch, who has a broken heart. So regardless whether she's an ani or an ashira, she has a broken heart, so we should always be a little nicer to the almana. So giving all of these other reasons that are not explicit in the Gemara. So it makes it sound like that they're trying to demonstrate that you can never be Dorish Taima Dekra, because you never really know for sure what the Taima Dekra is, what the singular reason of the pasuk is. You know, Tosfos Maseches Gittin writes that the whole machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, if you Dorish Taima Dekra, is only if there's a nafkamina ledina, like over here, nafkamina ledina, whether you could take a beged of an ashira. But if there's no nafkamina ledina, then there's no machlokes. But it's a machlokes achron, and what Tosfos means by that. Then there's no machlokes that you are Dorish Taima Dekra. There's no machlokes that you're not Dorish Taima Dekra. The Maram on that Tosfos says, no, when there's no nafkamina, of course Rabbi Yehuda will be Dorish Taima Dekra. And why not? You know, the Torah is Nitan Lidrosh Tameha, that there's nothing wrong with giving a Tam L'Shvach for whatever mitzvah there is. However, the Minchas Chinuch and mitzvah Tav Samach Dalit, Oz Dalit, and the Kometz HaMincha, and other Achronim say that, no, it also means the opposite. That when there's no Nafkamina Ladini, even Rabbi Shimon would say, not to be Doresh, Taima Dekra. Because the Darkei HaTorah Kedosha are Amku V'Ramu, they're so deep, they're so beyond us, the Seichel HaNoshi doesn't have the ability to be Masig, even a Tipa Minayam, the only HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands it. It's just that there's a nafkamina ledina. It's like one of the midos shatar and drashas ben, that the Torah says that whatever is logical, you could be doresh. So that's a nafkamina ledina. So when there's nafkamina ledina, it's just a technicality that midos shatar and drashas ben is that time of dekra is one of the ways to be doresh halachos. But to really claim to understand the time of dekra when there's not going to be a nafkamina ledina, so it's not in the midos shatar and drashas ben. You're just claiming to have an actual hasaga of the time of dekra. That's ridiculous. ridiculous. There's no way that we can even suggest that we have any understanding of time of Dikra. That's how the Minchas Chinuch writes. It seems to be Machlokas Rishonim whether there even is a reason for everything. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim writes that the Gemara Bracha says Omer Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha Meshaskim Also Mnei Shosam Midos Shakadosh Baruch Hu Rachamim Vein Al Gzeros. That the Rambam says that means you can't say Hakadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein because we're supposed to have Rachmanos, because it's not so because we're supposed to have Rachmanos. There are no reasons for the mitzvah of Torah. It's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. It's a nice idea to come and give reasons and make it more, and that's what the Rambam does a lot in Mor Nevuchim. But not every mitzvah in the Torah has a reason per se. It's Gzeros Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban on Chumash writes that every mitzvah has a tam and a toelas and a tikkun la'adam, aside from the schar that you get because there are gezeira meis Hashem. There is something beneficial, practically beneficial for a person. Mibnei malon is galut tamei Torah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, well, why weren't the tamei Torah revealed? What do you mean revealed? That implies that they exist, that there are tamei Torah. Says Ramban, yes, there are tamei Torah. It's a question whether it's a worthy cause to pursue, to go and look for all the reasons. The Rambam in Hilchas Me'ila writes, Ro'i la'adam l'sponin b'mishpatei atara kadosha v'leida sof inyanam k'fi kocho. It's a very worthy thing to go and do. The tour, however, in Yerodea Kuf Pehei says, nah, you shouldn't go looking for reasons for mitzvos. Mitzvos melechem aleinu lo neida ta'aman. We're not going to know the reasons anyway, so it's not going to... But you also have to carefully define what a reason is. Chumas Hadashin, famous Chuvah Chel Besim Chuf Ches, he says there are a lot of reasons that Chazal give that clearly would not affect the din, that are given al derech agada. For example, Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis, Minei Ma'am Retora Mila Lishmona. Here's another Daf Yomi coincidence of Bris Mila in the Shul again today. Why is it that we say Mila Lishmona, that there's a Mila on the eighth day? So Gemara says Shloya Kol Smechem Vavi Motzevim. You don't want everyone else to be happy and the mother and father to be sad. The woman is tamei after the birth of a baby boy for 7 days, so you don't want her to be tamei anymore at the time of the bris. So that's why you have Mila Lishmona. So says the Shumas Hadashin. Okay, so if she's Yalda Bezov, if there was a Ziva, if she gave birth when she was when she had Ziva, so she has Shiva, a requirement of Shiva Nakiyim as well. So then you're going to say that Nimal Arba Asar, they should do a Mila on the 14th day and not on the 8th day. No, that's a Tam Al Derech Agada. That's what the Shumas Hadashin says. You know, the Gemara says that an Arel doesn't. The Gemara says that the reason we don't put on tefillin on Shabbos is because Shabbos itself is an os, and we already have the os mila and the os of Shabbos, so you don't need a third os of tefillin. So they raise the question. Good. So a person who doesn't have a mila, an arel, should an arel put on tefillin on Shabbos? So Shmuel says, no, it's a tam al derech agada. You don't adjust the halacha based on a tam that's clearly al derech agada. Okay. Next Mishnah says the Mishnah hachovel asarei chayim over mishum lo sasei v'chayiv mishum shnei kelim. If a person takes as a mashkon someone's mill that he needs to grind his grain, it's a violation of a lo sasei, and he's chayiv for both parts of the mill, two separate kelim. Shneamar lo yachbal rechayim varechev, two separate parts. V'lo rechayim varechev blevad amru el kol davar sholsim ba ochel nefesh. And it's not only those kelim, but really anything that makes ochel nefesh is included in that iser. Shneamar ki nefesh hu chavel. Pasuk says ki nefesh hu chavel. Amar Rav Huna, chevel v'rechayim lo kashtayim. That if a person takes a chevel and a rechayim, he gets two separate malkios. Mishum rechayim, one for taking the rechayim, and mishum ki nefesh hu chavel. And for the broader general iser of taking any ochel nefesh type of kli. Rechayim v'rechev, if he takes both the rechayim and the rechev, loka shalosh, then he's loka shalosh, gets three malkios, mishum rechayim, v'rechev, u'mishum ki nefesh u'chavel. So it's three surim, the rechayim is one, the rechev is the other, and then the broader general iser of not taking anything that involves ochel nefesh. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, chevel v'rechayim loka achas, v'rechev loka achas. Rechayim v'rechev loka shtayim. If a person took a rechayim, he's loka achas. If he takes a rechev, he's loka achas, meaning there is no second malchus for the broader iser of taking an ochel nefesh kli. But if he takes a rechayim virechev, then he's loka shtayim. Then he gets two malchios, one for each of the kelim. But ki nefesh hu chavel is l'shar dvarim hu da'asa. Ki nefesh hu chavel is for other ochel nefesh items, but not for rechayim virechev. Rechayim virechev are explicit in the pasuk. That is not included in the nefesh hu chavel. The nefesh hu chavel is for the other types of ochel nefesh kelim. There is a machlokas rishonim. This iser of taking a kli of ochel nefesh, is it only during the time that people would otherwise be using it for malacha, or is it at any time, even when they're not anyway using it, there's still an iser to take a mashkon, to take these types of kelim as a mashkon. The Ramban and the Rashba hold that the whole iser is only when they would be using it for malacha. When it's not royal malacha, so it's no problem. A kardo, machresha, whatever it is you want to take, and they broaden the definition, therefore, of what's called ochel nefesh. Even a plow is called ochel nefesh for that reason. That you're allowed to take. However, the Torah writes in the name of the Rama that kelim that are used for ochel nefesh, you're not allowed to take it even when it's shelo b'shas malacha, even when it's not being used. So if you hold that it's only when it's a shah that's royal malacha that it's aser, that it's only while it's royal malacha they're not allowed to take it. Ask the Lecha Mishnah, so what exactly makes a kli of ochel nefesh different than every other kli in the world? Every other kli you're also not allowed to take when the person needs it, right? Didn't we learn the beged you have to give back when they need the beged? So every kli you have to give back when the person needs it. Why would this be any different? So that's what the Lecha Mishnah suggests, that no, by other kelim you only have to give back as needed, right? That was the underlying assumption of the previous sugya, that a beged of nashira, you wouldn't have to give back because she doesn't really need it. She has a closet full of begadim. So you only have to give back as needed. A kli that's used for ochel nefesh, you would have to give back even not as needed. Even if the person may have several duplicates of that kli, it's still irrelevant. If it's a time where that kli would typically be used, you would still have to give it back. In some way, you have to distinguish between an ochel nefesh kli and any other kli. So either the distinction is that you're never allowed to take an ochel nefesh kli, or the distinction is that you're not allowed to take an ochel nefesh kli when it's needed, only when it's needed, but even if there are other kelim that the guy could use in its place. Okay, the issue of taking a kli of ochel nefesh, the Gemara clearly is saying over here, you get malchus for it. You get malchus for taking the rechayim. You get malchus for taking the rechav. So all the Rishonim raised the question, one of the rules of malchus is a lavanita klase. You don't get malchus for it. So the Torah says, Hashev tashiv lo eshavot kivo hashemesh. There is an assay in the Torah to give it back. So if you don't get malchus for lavanita klasei, why would you get malchus over here? So this is dealt with by several rishonim. Tosus writes that you see that chiv malchus, from the fact that you chayv malchus, you see that there's no mitzvah to return the mashkon. And you can't, he says that don't say that you get malchus in a situation where you lost the mashkon or it got destroyed, where you're not able to return it, because then the loan is paid back. It's no longer a mashkon. So then, it would still be a lavanita klasei, because if the malva takes a mashkon from the lover from his house, he doesn't get malchus even if the mashkon gets lost, because it's chayv b'tashlumim. So you see that there's no mitzvah at all to be meish of the mashkon. It's not nita klasei. It's not nitan l'tashlumim. The Rambam holds the issur nita klasei. It is an issur that's nita klasei, but it's not nita l'tashlumim. From the fact that you chayv malchus, it's only if you lost it or it got burnt or it got destroyed in some way, since you're not able to return it, that's when you're going to be chayv malchus on what happened. So you have to go through with nita klasei exactly what the gedarim are and whether it always has to be nita klasei or dafka in this situation it's nita klasei. But let's see the gemara further. It says gemara lema abay v'rav plukta d'rafun v'rav yudah kamiflagi. Maybe this machlokas about lav shebichlalos, whether you get a malchus for lav shebichlalos, is already a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda in a different context. The Amar Rava, Ochal na lo keshtayim, mishum na umishum kiyim tzli esh. Mevushal lo keshtayim. There is an iser by Karban Pesach. There's a mitzvah that you have to eat it roasted, and there are two separate isurim. You're not allowed to eat it na, which is partially cooked. You're not allowed to eat it mevushal, which is fully cooked. Kiyim Sliyesh. And another issue that you're not allowed to eat it in any way that's not roasted, that's not Sliyesh. What does it mean, any way that's not roasted? Well, there are only two ways that are not roasted. There's Na, and there is Mavushal. Those are the only things. So, Kiyim Sliyesh, Mavushal. So what do we say? If Rava holds, if you eat it Na, you get two Malkios. One for Na, and one for the general Kiyim Sliyesh. You eat it Mavushal, two Malkios. Mishum Mavushal, Mishum Kiyim Sliyesh. One for the specific Mavushal, and the other for the general Kiyim Sliyesh. If you eat it where, let's say, half the animal is cooked na, half the animal is cooked mevushal, so then you get three malchios. Why? Mishum na, umishum mevushal, umishum lo sochlenu kiyim tzliyesh. For all three. So we see that even though kiyim tzliyesh is a broader issue that includes both na and mevushal, you still get a separate malchus for that. Abaye says, no, you don't, because that's a lav shabachlalos. So bringing it back to our din, that's like the general issue of not taking anything that's ochel nefesh. Do you get malchus for that? So you see, it's the same machlokas. Lema Abaye damak Rav Yehuda, Rava damak Rav Huna. Abaye seems to align perfectly with Rav Yehuda, and Rava aligns perfectly with Rav Huna. So the Gemara is going to say that no, they don't align, meaning that both Rava and Abaye can say that they agree with both Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, that there's something fundamentally different about the Lav Shebechlalos of Kiyim Tzliyesh versus the Lav Shebechlalos of Ki Nefesh Uchovel. And basically what the difference is going to be, we'll pick up with it tomorrow, is that Ki Nefesh Uchovel includes many other kelim aside for Rechayim Varechev. Kiyim Tzliyesh includes nothing else other than Na and Mavushal. And that's going to change our attitude toward how we darshan those psukim. So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow.